Well, good morning, everyone. Father, we thank you that we can bow down before you. We thank you that you exhort us to come boldly to the throne of grace in order to find mercy and help in any time of need, and that we have access to you. And Lord, as we look at your word, the whole counsel of God from Revelation 1 to or Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, we see opportunities for prayer. And as we go to the very end of the Bible today and look at the very last prayer request, so to speak, that's there, write it on our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created, and thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Well, in going through the prayers in the Bible today, we come to the end of the Bible. We are at Revelation 22 and the last two verses of the Bible. And they read, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen." And then the prayer, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And then a benediction statement, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So we see at the very end of the Bible here we have, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And as we look at the coming of the kingdom, as we look at his second coming, as we look at him to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, we see all through the Bible these requests to pray, and we even see in the scriptures that these basically are the prayers of the saints rising as sweet-smelling incense to the throne of God. Back in the Gospels, in Matthew and Luke, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, can you tell us how to pray and to pray?" And in Matthew 6, of course, where we have what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the model prayer. And in the Matthew account, it says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then what's the very first petition after that? "Thy kingdom come." We have prayed for his kingdom to come hundreds, maybe thousands of times, have we not? Maybe not knowing exactly what we were praying for when we said, "Thy kingdom come," but this is what we're praying for, that kingdom coming, "and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the Luke account, similarly, when you pray, say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom," or "thy kingdom come." So we see that in the two times there in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke with respect to the model prayer. And then in Luke 18, he was speaking of the coming of the kingdom of God, and he told them a parable about the persistent widow, which is relating to being persistent in our prayer. But in 18:1 of the Gospel of Luke, he said, "Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." And, of course, the context there is for his coming. So there again, he is admonishing us to pray for his kingdom to come. And then in Titus, that great statement here in Titus, this is very comforting to me, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to," what? "All men." Interesting, isn't it? How often we hear of people throughout the world who've never heard of the name of Jesus. And that may be true, they haven't heard the name of Jesus, but as Romans 1 says, none is without excuse. All have seen the creation, all should recognize the Godhead from the creation. And this says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That doesn't mean that we don't need to tell the Lord, tell people about the Lord, but I do think the Lord loves people too much in their eternity to trust it to man. Mm-hmm. And men are so fallible that if he was putting someone's salvation at my responsible footsteps, that would not be the loving God that he is. So, yes, we have the Great Commission. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, we have the commission to make disciples to all nations, and I'm not taking away from that at all. That's what we're to do. But we also see thousands upon thousands of sovereign savings without any tracts, without any gospels, without anything. And so I think when we put all of the emphasis on man doing it all, we put too much emphasis on him. And we put all the emphasis on God doing it all, we put too much emphasis on the lack of fulfilling the Great Commission. So there is that balance there, I think. But here we see, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's what the grace of God teaches. Isn't that amazing? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That means now. What? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, when will that be? At the coming of his kingdom. So that's what we're praying for. That's what we're looking for. And then it goes on to state that beautiful statement, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, as we look at the heavenly throne in the book of Revelation, which has not yet happened, but it is a vision given to John, in the heavenly throne, after the church is raptured, here's what we see. And this is part of his coming. He doesn't come with first he comes for the church, right, in the rapture. Then he will come with the church back to the earth at the end of the tribulation. But here, this is at the beginning of the tribulation period. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to what? Is to come. That's what we're talking about, the coming, his coming. And then we went on to read there, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders representing the church, I believe, fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, that's what we sang this morning, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And then the next chapter, still in the heavenly throne, this is where Jesus, as a lamb as though it had been slain, stands up and takes the scroll, who is the only one able to redeem the earth back to himself. Now, when he, Jesus, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. By the way, that word elders there is masculine. Creatures, the four living creatures are neuter, so this means it's not the four living creatures each having a harp, it means men. And so I think we should take harp lessons, right? Although I think when we get there, he'll give us those harp lessons in a hurry. But each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, this is the song of the church now. They sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of what? Every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That has to be the church that kept me Israel, because that's every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God. So we will be kings and priests to our God as believers, and we shall reign on the earth with our Lord. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's the biggest Greek number times the biggest Greek number. It doesn't necessarily mean it's rounded off to the exact zero. It just means the largest number times the largest number plus thousands more, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lived forever and ever. That's going to be a great time, isn't it? Awesome, isn't it? Now, going ahead a little more to the end of the tribulation, or near the end of Christ's second coming. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Oh, how awesome it is that we have a faithful and true God. And notice, in righteousness he judges and makes war. Now, all the wars in history of man have always really been based on unrighteousness, but he is righteous in his judgment and in making war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, that's us, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So I guess we've been, in addition to harp lessons, we better take some equestrian lessons, maybe. Although with our new glorified bodies, I don't know how we're going to sit on those horses. It probably will be very easy, I would imagine. I don't know. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself, we don't do anything but watch him. He's not going to give us jobs to do in trampling out the grapes of wrath, or not the grapes of wrath, but the wrath of God, I should say. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of the great things about the book of Revelation, it really focuses on who Jesus is now. When he was on earth for those 33 years, he came all the way down from the God, the creator of the universe, all the way down to a man, and I don't think we can even envision how far down that is. But he came down to a man to show us men, people here on earth, who God really is. And he had to die as a man, didn't he? To undo what a man, Adam, had done in committing sin and the death through sin. So he was fully man. And so the Gospels, we read him as fully man. He laid aside his godhood, in a sense. He didn't give it up, but he laid it aside, and we see him as fully man. And any time the God, the creator of the universe, can walk on this earth and then submit him to men to be crucified, you know, it's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Because we can't think of how he humbled himself. But on the day of judgment, can you imagine, as Caiaphas, as Ananias, and all of these mob that put Jesus on the cross will come before him in judgment. And he is judging all things. God has told us in John 5, Jesus says that the Father has given the judgment to the Son, and the Son will judge all things. So the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who created, he created the hill, he created the cross, he created everything on which we saw or could see at the time of the crucifixion, but he willingly gave his life up. It wasn't that he was overpowered by man, because at any time he could have stopped that. And then we see the compassion of the Father, because can you imagine the Father seeing his Son going through what he went through? And loving us so much that he would not stop it. In fact, we read in Isaiah 53 that it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. What love that is for us, right? So we are so special in his sight. And we need to really think of our Savior Jesus, not just as fully man and fully God, although in a sense he still is fully man. But he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he is an awesome. And he's so awesome, in fact, in Revelation chapter 1, when John sees him, he falls on his face as though he were dead. That's how awesome the risen Lord is going to be. So we'll see him soon. He still will be compassionate. He was still, and he still is so loving, but he is so awesome, I don't think we can even envision what it'll be like to be in his presence. So, that's the prayer. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So, church, that's what we're to pray for. So, continue to pray until you have no breath. Lord, come quickly means he comes fast when he comes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this glorious finish of your word, and we just marvel at you, Lord, and we can't grasp the enormity of you. We can't grasp the enormity of your love for us. We can't grasp the enormity of your love for the lost around the world. And we know that no one will be sent to hell, no one will be sent to heaven, but each one will choose where they want to go. But Lord, the choice of most will be not you. We read, narrow is the way, and few are they that find it, and wide is the path that leads to destruction. But Lord, we are challenged to pray, and we are given the great commission to preach the gospel and to make disciples. And so here we are this morning, Lord. I pray that you would guide us in this time of prayer, to use these precious moments together and to recognize that you have given much power in the prayers of the saints. And in addition to pray, come Lord Jesus, come, we want to pray for your church. We want to pray for the kings and those in authority that we have been commanded to pray for in your word. We want to pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem which we are commanded in your word. And so we just want to pray, Lord, as you, Holy Spirit, would lead us, and as you guide us, that is the way we should pray. And so may we gather our hearts together this morning in just full submission and surrender to you, and may we be responsive in praying as you lead us. And so I just thank you so much for each one that's here who's committed to prayer and committed to somewhat early in the morning of getting together. And so, Lord, here we are. May we use these moments wisely now as we surrender to you with joy and with gratitude for who you are and what you have done and what you are doing and what you will do. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus.